These guys turned eggs, dates, and almonds into a $600 million payday, and they did it in under 5 years. Peter and Jared created RX Bar. This is the protein snack that went from obscurity to ubiquity in about 17 minutes, or at least it felt like that. The truth is, behind the scenes, it was a grind. It was a hustle. These guys were working their butts off. And there are some serious business lessons in exactly how they did what they did, how they turned RX Bar into the number one protein bar on the shelf. I'm going to talk about all that today. Before I get to it, if you're new here, my name's John Davids. I've helped my clients make over $200 million working with my marketing and growth agencies. You can learn more at johndavids.com. I make content like this for free to teach you on how to build a business, how to build $100 million brands that can take you from nothing to $100 million plus. That's what we've done for our clients for years. All this information is free with one catch. You must subscribe. You must engage. You must contribute. So wherever you're getting this, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or anywhere else, please make sure you go ahead and subscribe, follow, leave a comment, share it with your friends. That's how this content travels. And that's all I ask for the hours and hours that me and my team put in to getting this content to you. Now, let's get to the show.
You're listening to Making It with John Davids.
So let's rewind all the way to 2012. Peter is an athlete. He's playing rugby. He's doing a lot of CrossFit. He loves doing CrossFit. And he's also following a paleo lifestyle. That's no grains, no sugar, no dairy. That's very common amongst the CrossFit community, which is very important. I'll get back to that in a second. At this point in his life, Peter's also having a really tough time at work. He really just wants to leave his job. He's not very good at it. He doesn't really enjoy it. And so you'll notice that at this point in someone's life, when they want to leave, maybe they got the entrepreneurial bug and they want to leave their job, all of a sudden they start to notice problems all around them. Everything in the world becomes a problem in need of a solution. And of course, that happened with Peter. He notices something weird. There are a ton of products serving the paleo community, but no protein bars. And that's especially strange because the CrossFit community that he's a big part of follows a very strict paleo diet. And these are diehard dieters. So it's no grain, no sugar, no dairy. And there's tons of other stuff being offered to them. Merchandise, t-shirts, water, all kinds of different lifestyle and dietary brands, but no protein bars. And they need protein bars because they're working out on a regular basis. You need to be able to grab a quick snack. And Peter decides that he sees this problem. It is a big problem. A protein bar for the paleo crowd needs to exist, and he is going to make it. So next up, he teams up with his buddy Jared, and they get to work on this protein bar. Now, they need three ingredients to get it off the ground. Number one, they've got to choose flavors. So they go with almonds and cacao, basically 100% chocolate. They're ready to eat. They're healthy. They're good for you. They're tasty. So that's the flavor piece. Second ingredient, they need a binder. A binder is the sticky thing that makes the bar stick together. They go with figs and dates. Why? Again, natural, flavorful, sweet, sticky. And it's better than something like tapioca, which isn't really a natural ingredient. Figs and dates are nice and safe to eat. And again, they fit the paleo diet. Of course, he needs a protein. So for protein, he goes for egg whites. Why? Because eggs are very common in the North American diet. You have eggs for breakfast. Everyone recognizes them. Everyone likes eggs. I shouldn't say everyone likes eggs. I love eggs. I love my eggs. A lot of people don't like eggs, but egg whites are very, very dense in protein. It's a power food. It packs in the protein. That is the protein. So we got almonds for flavor. We got figs and dates for binders. We got egg whites for protein. They scour the country looking for premium suppliers. And this is really important. They didn't want to go for just any supplier that could provide them these ingredients. They wanted high quality. Then they grab a Cuisinart, they hit the blend button, and they whip up a prototype. This is their prototype of the very first RX bar. Now, in fairness, I think the very, very first RX bar, they used some different ingredients. They were using coconut at one point as the flavor. And so this wasn't necessarily on step one, but that's what they got to. And finally, they have a recipe that's good enough to start sharing. So at this point, they go out to a test market. What better test market than Peter's buddies over at the CrossFit gym? And I think Jared also had some friends at his gym. So they put this concoction into Tupperware, they bring it out, and they start serving it to their friends at CrossFit after classes and before classes. And they're asking questions. What do you like? What don't you like? Is it too chewy? Is it too sweet? Is it not sweet enough? Is it too bitter? Is it too tart? Do you enjoy the flavor? Is this something you would eat? Oh, it is. If it is, how much would you pay for it? What size of a bar would you want? And they're tweaking and toning their recipe based on all this feedback. So they're doing a ton of market research. And finally, they get the recipe just right. So they call it RX Bar, and I'll tell you soon how they got that name, but now it is time to sell. And there's a funny line at this part. Peter tells the story, and he says he was thinking about raising venture capital, he was looking for investors, and his dad said to him, just sell 1,000 fucking bars. Get 1,000 bars out. If you listen to him on How I Built This, he tells this story. And it's so true. You want to get stuck on all kinds of little things like finding investors. How do we get the cash to do X, Y, Z? Listen, just go out and sell something because that'll give you the confidence to go out and make something happen for yourself on a much larger level. Small wins lead to big wins. So now it's launch time. Instead of a wide launch, they go super, super narrow. Our boys aren't dumb. They're going to do something really smart here. They have just one target buyer, CrossFit gyms. That's it. They don't want to get their product on the shelf at Whole Foods. They don't want to get their product on the shelf at Target. They don't want Erewhon. They don't want Walmart. They don't want that. What they want is CrossFit gyms. Why? Because that's their core customer. That's the customer whose life is going to be changed by this product. It's life-changing for them because working out is a big part of their day. Yeah, following a paleo diet is critical to that workout. Having the right energy before and after, this is going to be a pivotal part of their routine. So they start dialing gym owners all across the country, coast to coast, convincing them to stock the RX bar. And then they hustle away on manufacturing, on packaging to bring this thing to life. How do they get that done? They use PowerPoint to design the first labels. They go to Staples to print the labels off. They literally make by hand 800 bars a day between the two of them, 400 each. And then they have a bunch of their friends actually package them up, put them in wrappers. They're making this stuff out of their basement, by the way, guys. It's not like they've got a factory or a kitchen at this point. They're just getting it as fast as they can into the hands of these CrossFit owners. In the first 9 months, this is all the way back in 2013. So we started in 2012. This is a year later, 2013. In the first 9 months, sales hit $600,000. And that gives them the confidence to know, okay, we're actually onto something here. You don't sell $600,000 in 9 months by accident. In year two, they struggle quite a bit because they hit supply issues. So now we're into year two and they can't make this stuff fast enough. They can't get the supplies fast enough. Every time they send a batch out to a merchant, to a CrossFit gym, it sells out instantly. In fact, at this point, Peter says in year two, they couldn't even run email blasts or promotion because if they did that, they would just be sold out. They wouldn't have the ability to fill the orders that they had to begin with. So in year two, sales jump to $2 million. 600,000 to 2 million. All right, let's fast forward a little bit. 2016, they land in Trader Joe's. So now it's another pivotal point. 2016, up until then, they were only available in local gyms. So if you were to call up RX Bar and say, hey, I'm a fan of your bar, where can I get it? The first question they would ask is, where do you live? And then they would be able to backtrack, okay, there's a CrossFit gym down the street, go here, call them up, see if they have any in stock. Now in 2016, they're sold nationally across the US and Trader Joe's. It's the first time they don't actually need to say, where do you live? Someone calls up and says, we want to buy a bar. Great, go to Trader Joe's, you can buy it. Sales explode that year to $36 million. In 2016, sales are exploding as well. At the same time, they've got new things on the manufacturing side. They're at this point co-packing their bar at another facility, and they run into all kinds of supply issues again because Peter is micromanaging the third-party vendor that's actually making their bar. They get kicked out of that facility, and for a period of time, they again can't manufacture their bar. These guys are running into all kinds of supply issues because they have such a high standard of perfection. Even with that, sales hit $36 million. So look at this, guys. Even when you're in a situation where you got supply issues, you got packaging issues, you got vendor issues, you can still have a sellout product if it's good enough. 600,000 to 2 million to 36 million. Fast forward now to 2017, Kellogg's picks up RX Bar for a wild $600 million. That was the acquisition price. The revenue at that point, I don't know. Probably if I had to guess, 50 to 75 million in 2017. But the multiple on revenue, $600 million, because it was so clearly heading to number one with a bullet, which is where it is right now. Now, I'll tell you guys what I love about this story. Peter and Jared ran the customer community playbook like all stars. I am the godfather of the customer community playbook. I've been doing it for over a decade. And when I saw this story, I thought to myself, oh my Lord, these guys are geniuses. Rather than duking it out with Clif Bar and Larabar, they wedged their way into one tiny segment, CrossFit gyms. That's it. They bear hugged this community and ignored everyone else. Peter actually says on this episode I heard of How I Built This, he actually said, we would rather have somebody in a CrossFit gym out in Los Angeles than somebody buying the bar locally in Chicago where we were, because somebody who is CrossFit, they get it. To them, it is an absolute must-have. Whereas somebody buying it locally, sure, they're physically closer to us, but they could do with it, they could do without it. It doesn't really matter. So bear hugging this community was so important. And that's the power of a customer community. It's not the end point, it's the starting point. And if you do it right, it's the whole point. It's because you have these crazy fanatics who just love you and who will spread the word, who will evangelize you, who will be advocates for you, and they will catapult your brand to new levels. Build your foundation. Recruit your tribe. Dominate your category. Like I said, in 2024, the top seller on the protein shelf was RX Bar, and it's still barely been a decade. Now, I want to tell you guys something, because something else in this story was so powerful to me, and that was the hustle they showed in the early days. You know, when they got this bar out, the very first thing they did was they made it in a Cuisinart. They packaged it up in Tupperware. They took it to the gyms and they did test marketing. And then when it was time to sell it, they printed the labels at Staples. They designed the labels on PowerPoint. They stapled the labels together on the box. By the way, if you Google RX Bar original packaging, it's actually not that bad. I think this packaging on Google that I'm seeing just when I Google RX Bar is probably around 2013, 14. It's really good from the start, but they designed everything totally grassroots. They didn't have anything professional. You know, I talk to young entrepreneurs and companies that are in growth mode, and they'll say things like, I need to raise money to do this, or I need to talk to experts, or I've got to do something. And they always want it to be so polished, like they're Google or they're IBM or they're some big company that has resources to drop $200,000 on a test marketing activity. When you are starting a company or you're bootstrapping anything, even if you've got millions of dollars in revenue, you've got to be able to figure things out on the fly. Let me tell you guys a funny story. When I started, it wasn't my first agency, but it was one of my early agencies. And I remember I was sort of building it up. I was doing deals for $10,000, $20,000 back in the early days of influencer marketing. And then I had one company call me. It was a footwear brand. And they called me up and they asked me if I could do something where we almost did like a candid camera thing. They wanted to find people on the street who were wearing their shoes, and they wanted to go up and ask them questions and have a candid camera film them, right? Like a hidden camera style thing. And I said, okay, cool. And in my mind, I'm thinking, as they're telling me this, I haven't done this before. I have no idea how to film something like this or set up a hidden camera or whatever. And I said, what's your budget? And they said, my budget's $100,000. And I had never had a budget like that before, right? $100,000 at the time was very, very big. Times have changed. We do a lot of $100,000 deals these days, but all the way back then, it was a big deal. And I remember saying to myself, okay, number one, I want to make $100,000. That's for sure. Number two, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to figure out how to make that money. And number three, I went ahead and did it. You know how I did it? I went onto Craigslist. I found camera operators. I found sound people. I found someone who could write a script. I found someone who had done, I think he had worked on a production of a candid camera type show in the past on television. And I literally just threw this thing together. I was not qualified at all to be doing a production like this. But when you're figuring things out, you are never pre-qualified to do the thing that they're asking you to do, because by definition, you're figuring it out. And this is the kind of stuff I want you guys to understand. In marketing, in business, in entrepreneurship, you've got to be willing to figure it out on the job. And here's the key. If you're working in a space that you're passionate about and you're working in a space that you have an affinity for, you will have the desire to figure it out. You will have the natural talent to figure it out, right? If someone said to me, I want you to go and figure out how to make this drug or figure out this scientific experiment. I have no desire. I have no interest. I have no passion for those subjects. Not for me. But I already love production. I already love film and television and entertainment and social media. So if you say to me, hey, I'm going to pay you to get this thing done, to learn this thing on the job, that's how you know you've found your sweet spot. That's how you know that you're qualified to do it, because you have a natural passion for that thing. So find that area of expertise, find that thing that you can latch onto, and you will be pre-qualified to do all kinds of things that you are totally not qualified to do. That's the story of RXBAR. That's the story of Peter and Jared. I want to know what you guys think. Let me know on the podcast feed, in the comments, on YouTube. Let me know. You comment on YouTube, I will respond. And I'll talk to you guys next time.